2 Samuel chapter 23. And let's look down at verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. And then it lists some names. Skip right down to verse number 11. We're going to skip to only one of these men. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the victory we do have in Jesus. Thank you that these dear folks have gathered here tonight. Lord, I thank you that you have touched each of their lives. And I hope, Lord, and I pray that every one of them knows you as Savior. If there's somebody here for some reason that does not, I pray just even through the preaching of your word and the fellowship with your people that they would realize there's something real here. There's something that they can have, and I pray that they'd get saved. Lord, if there's somebody in here who's not committed, not sold out, not decided they're going to stand for you, I pray that tonight maybe be the night where some young person just decides that they're going to serve you with their life. Help us all to keep that in our head. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I said keep it in your head, but I really mean you should keep some things in your head. The Bible says that Mary pondered these things in her heart, all right? And she obviously thought about them, but she kept them here in her heart, and she thought about those things. Today we're going to talk about that a little bit, and the sermon title today is Six P's to Ponder. All right, six P's, not P's like the green ones that Pastor doesn't like, but mind your P's and Q's, okay? The letter P, six P's to ponder. Me and Max were talking about, where's Max? He's gone. All right, he's not one to hear me, okay? He's heard me all day. We were talking about sermon titles we should have chosen, all right? And we were coming up with some great sermon titles today. I don't think any of them were spiritual, but they sounded good, all right? I thought about calling this one The Formula for Finding Out, because I like formulas. I'm a math person. I thought about making this just into a question, almost like somebody would search for a question on the internet or ask their mom, you know, when should I stand in a bean field? All right, and when should you stand in a bean field? Well, if you're working in it, or if you're this guy in this story. And so let's go back and look at that story again. We have a man named Shammah, and we're going to find out in just a minute where he's standing. And he is, just a hint, he is standing in a bean field or a lentils field. But in this day and age, we decide a lot of things really quickly. When we make a decision, you know, for... I think we decide them quickly. We try to decide them quickly, unless you say, honey, where would you like to go out to eat? And you can count on that being at least a 5-minute discussion, okay? That is not a quick decision, all right? And actually, sometimes it's not a quick decision because it's my fault, you know? Oh, I want to go here. And then I say, really? Okay. That is not a good answer to your wife, all right? If she did say it, then just jump on it and go with it, all right? In this day and age, we do decide things pretty fast. But you know what? Even when I decide to take time and think about it, and I should stop and think about it, amen, and I stop and ask people for counsel, and I've got a big decision, and I've got something that I need to get done, or some decision I need to make, a direction I need to go, I do have to weigh whether or not I have time to think about it for a long time. Sometimes there's decisions you need to make a little bit quicker, all right? And then there's sometimes you need to make decisions in a slower, more counseled manner. You know, where should I go to college is not a decision you should make on the fly, all right? You should get counsel for that kind of decision. You know, but honestly, where should I go out to eat? You know, you can pray about it, but, you know, it's food, all right? Go home and eat at home. If you don't have any food at home, go to the store, buy some food, or go somewhere and bring it home, okay? Amen? But sometimes we take some decisions that shouldn't take a long time, we take way too long. And some decisions that should be made quickly, we, you know, take way too long as well, all right? Be careful how you make your decisions. But nowadays, people will pull out their phone to help them. All right, Mr. Google becomes somebody's answer. You know, I've used it a lot. You've used it a lot. You need to find the price of, you know, Brother Jeff was showing me the price of carpet tile. And I'm sure he uses the internet a lot to find out what's the current going rate. What's the price for this? What's the price for that? That's a very useful tool, isn't it? And if he wants to know that, he can find that pretty quickly. And he can know, boy, this is a good time to buy this type of material. Boy, I need hardwood. This is a great time to buy hardwood. And he gets that price really quick. And he can make that transaction fast. But the truth is, I did find some interesting things today on Google. All right, and I'm going to read those to you before we get too serious. All right, here we go. Because I like to find out things, all right? So I'm going to help you this evening. Here's some questions. Now, I'm not going to tell you the answers, okay? I'm just going to tell you what other people have wondered when they type it into the old Google search engine, okay? So here's some questions that Google has found, and I even tried one of them. I tried one of them and came up with some things, all right? How many toes does a rhinoceros have? Somebody wondered that, all right? These are things people typed in. What is the length of spaghetti? Maybe somebody in here who's a cook knows that. How can I grow taller? Well, okay, good luck. All right. Can helicopters fly upside down? Don't laugh. You don't know, do you? All right. Have you looked that one up? He's done that one before. All right. How do I get my husband a brain transplant? Real question. All right. How do I get my fiance a brain? Oh wait, sorry. I'm sorry, Lynette. He's here. Just kidding. She doesn't know he needs one yet. just wait. Just wait. All right. All of us husbands sometimes we need one. All right. We don't know each other well enough to do that, but yeah. He'll be fine. He'll be okay. What's the funniest joke in the world? The one Brother Young's not telling, all right? Where are my keys? Hey, listen. You know, nowadays we've got, goodness, the sad thing is that one can be answered now. Alexa, where are my keys? Right here. Okay, I mean, you know, that's scary, actually. That's scary. How does a giraffe clean its ears? I don't know, all right? I don't know. It's tall, okay? No hands. It's way down here, all right? Never mind, you guys didn't like that one. All right, what happens to old false legs when they don't need them anymore, all right? Here's one I typed in. I couldn't believe it, and I decided to type it in. I took a picture of it on my phone because it's real, okay? So there's another thing you can do. You can start searching for something, and it will tell you what you should continue to say, all right? You got to be careful with that, of course. But I have 5 children, and I've had twins, and we're getting ready to have another one. So, our babies, and then it fills in some answers for me. So here's what Google said I should do. Are babies born with blue eyes? That's a good question, all right. Are babies born with teeth? All right, okay. Are babies born with hair? That's a good question, right? Some more than others. Are babies parasites? That was probably some kid's sister that typed that one in, all right. Are brothers parasites? Now, this one's the one that worried me. And I did try it, I just didn't believe it, all right. Are babies dishwasher safe? That's in there, all right? Now, my twins have come in a little dirty sometimes, and I have thought about, you know, throwing them in the washing machine, okay? But I had to try that one out, so I'll leave you with that. You go find it out, okay? You should know the answer to that one, all right? If you've ever tried that, I worry about you. Are babies dishwasher safe, all right? Now, is that spiritual? Absolutely not, okay? But some things for you to ponder, because that's the sermon tonight. Oh, 6 P's for you to ponder. So you ponder on those questions, and if you know the answers, you know, come tell me sometime. But let's look at this. Let's look at this story one more time, and I want to ask you some things. Here's this young man, this man Shammah, and he makes a decision to stand in this field and fight a battle. And you could say, well, he was automatically going to do that. He probably was going to do that. He's a mighty man. He should have done that. You know, I would have done that if I were him. Well, a lot of us would have done a lot of things if we were somebody else. Okay? So be careful about saying that. But there's 6 things that I think Shammah had to do really quick in his mind before he made a decision. I want you to use the same. I think God put this story in here on purpose. Before he took his stand, he had to consider this. Before God wrought a victory, he had to consider this thing. Number one, let's look at it. Let's consider the place that this was. Where was this place? Well, look at the thing. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Haragite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Where was this place? This was a bean field. This was probably his home, maybe, or at least it was somebody's home. It was somebody's bean field. that he decided to stand in. And they had all fled, if you read the rest of the story. The enemy had taken it over, and this could be a place, consider the place that he's standing, this could be a useless place. Many people would say, well, why don't you go defend the house? Why don't you go defend the town? Why don't you go defend the road and keep people from, you know, he stood in a bean field. That seems a little silly at first look. But the truth is, I'm glad, and there must have been a reason, by the way. We don't know what it is. We really don't. Nowhere in this story does it tell us why he decided truly to defend a bean. The Philistines probably took more than the bean field. They probably took other stuff. Or they were going to take. Maybe he was defending that bean field because down the road was his house. Okay? I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of the story. But I know that he must have considered that place before he went and fought the enemy there. All right, number two, let's think about the people. Who were there? Well, if you read the thing, it says, there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. There was no people there. They were leaving. They were gone. And so they have fled, and for a minute there, Shammah must have watched this happen. People fleeing, the enemy coming. No one has possession of the bean field for at least a minute. And we're not really sure who has possession of the bean field for a minute, but he knows who's going to have it. It's going to be the enemy pretty soon. And so Shammah looks over and he considers that little bean field. And he watches people running out of there. And you know what else that tells me? It does tell me that somebody was defending the bean field. Or working in the bean field. Somehow, they were there in that little field of lentils. And Shammah looked at that field and said, hey, there's a field. And he looked at the people and they're running away. Hey, listen, you know what? The enemy had taken it. Those who owned it were fleeing. Fear and sorrow prevailed and Shammah watched it happen. Number three, I want you to think of a place, thing to ponder. I want you to ponder about the Philistines or the foe. Or the opponent, all right? Listen, who is the enemy in that bean field? Who is it? It's the Philistines. Hey, listen, those were Shammah's enemies. They were the enemy soldiers. Oh, by the way, there were more than that. They were God's enemies. Those weren't just any men. Those were the enemies of not only Shammah, but of his country. They were the enemies of his God. And when you start stacking up your enemies, and your enemies happen to be the same as your country's enemies, and your country's enemies happen to be the same as God's enemies, well, that tells me a couple things. First of all, you and your country are on the right side, all right? But you know what? He decided from those things that those guys are in that bean field, and that's not their bean field. That's my country's bean field. That's my bean field. That's my God's bean field, and I'm going to take that little patch of lentils. And so he considered that. He didn't just haphazardly not consider it. I mean, if nobody had been there and people were just flying away and the Philistines had gone through and gone somewhere else, he would have gone out somewhere else. But here we find him standing in the bean field. But you know what? Shammah was on the right side. Hey, listen, who's the enemy here? Okay? Well, that actually depends on which side you're cheering for. All right? To the Philistines, Shammah's the enemy in the bean field. To Shammah, they're the enemy in the bean field. Hey, listen. It matters what side you're fighting on in that little patch, in that useless area, in that area where nobody's at. It matters whose side you're fighting on. So he considered the place it was. I think he saw the people. I think he saw the Philistines. But I also think he thought about the price he was about to pay. What would this cost? What was it going to cost that little bean field in the middle of his country? What was it going to cost him? Well, I think he knew some of the things. I think he knew it would cost him some time to get rid of all those Philistines. I think he knew it would cost him some work. I think he knew that. I think it cost somebody some work to put the thing there. All right, it was there because someone put it there. Someone grew that, took the time for it. There's a lot of principles there, but the truth is, it cost him time. It could cost him some blood in battle. You know, ultimately, he was willing, and it could have cost him his life. He didn't know, by the way, when he chose that spot, whether he would live or die. He had no idea. Hey, listen, if you go to war for your country, you don't know whether you'll live or die. You have no idea. Hey, when you sign on the dotted line and say, I'm here to do what you want, yes, sir. All right? Guess what they do? They send you wherever they want to send you. And you have no idea. Hey, listen, Christian, You had no idea when you signed your life and said, Jesus, I love you. You gave your life for me. I want to be a Christian. You have no idea what that's going to cost. All right? You do a little bit, but the truth is, you should consider the price that's being paid. You should consider the price that's being paid. Hey, listen, number five. I love it. Now it starts getting good. Because I think those first four things he figured out really quick. I think he had to make a split-second decision. We don't always have time to think those things through. We got to go pretty quick. We have to have some things established. By the way, Shammah was a man of war, and he was a mighty man for a reason. He had some things established pretty well. All right, he wasn't unsure of what side he was on. All right, he wasn't unsure of who the Philistines. Well, they look like pretty good guys. No, they not. He knew who the enemy was. All right, I already like this guy, and I've never met him. I'm going to look forward to meeting him in heaven. But here's the thing: these last two things, I think, Shammah knew, and we take it for granted. But here they are. Okay, number five, he knew the power available to him. He knew the power available to him. Who won this battle? Shammah did? No. The Philistines? No. God did. Read the rest, all right? But he stood, so he made the decision already, by the way, in the ground. Now the rest of these things are for us to think about, okay? The result we get to see. He didn't know that going into it. And defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. He didn't know that was going to happen, okay? But I think he trusted the power that was given to him. And whether that meant he would die or live, he knew what he was going to do. He knew it and admitted it, that he is powerless to take care of these Philistines by himself. He said, you know what? Too many guys here. I can't take them, but I can. And he didn't say, I can't take them and walk away. He said, you know what? I probably can't take them. There's too many of them. There's a lot of guys there. And maybe for a minute, you know, I don't know how this battle happened. Sometimes I think we think we know how the Bible worked, all right? But sometimes you've got to put yourself in kind of every situation. What if he couldn't, what if these lentils, these beans were pretty tall? He couldn't really see how many guys are in that field. And he just decided, there's a guy, I'm going to kill him, all right? And there's another guy, I'm going to defend this bean. Hey, quit, get out of this bean field. I can imagine him, you know, swatting flies or something, okay? And you know, I don't know. But I think after a while he figured out, there's a lot of Philistines. And they're still coming. And I got to decide whether I'm going to stay here or not. Maybe that was how that worked. I'm not sure. But either way, he did decide, and guess what? In God's power, he won the victory through the Lord's hand. Hey, listen, let's look at the end thing, though. The product of his choice, or the prize of his victory. What is it that came about? Because this isn't written in the story. You know, the story ends with giving credit to who deserves the credit. Okay, the Lord wrought a great victory. That's all it said. But I want you and I, who are lived down the road, to stop and think about what was the prize, what was the product, what was the result of Shammah doing this one thing? Hey, listen, you know what the result was? The bean field came back to the rightful owners. Somebody came back to that bean field and lived there. If it was his bean field, he probably lived there. Maybe that person gave it to him because he did what was right. I don't know the whole story, but I do know the Philistines didn't get it. God's people kept it. I know that somebody, some kid got to come home. I know that, listen, generations of Israelites would live on that piece of ground because why? One man decided to let God use him to bring a great victory. Hey, listen, are you thinking of the extra things that means to you? I know this is an Old Testament story. And the bean field, by the way, probably didn't look all that good after this battle. All right, you got Philistine soldiers charging through, guys swinging swords. The beans were probably gone. Somebody had to come back and replant that thing. All right, the rightful owners might not have found it right away. But you know what? I know one thing. The enemy didn't get it because a godly man stepped up and said, that's my bean field and I'm going to stand here and I'm going to defend it against the enemy. And because one man did it, think about it. It wasn't just his lifetime. When he died, that bean field still belonged to an Israelite. When he died, God's people still owned that land. And think about it. Generations later, some kid walks in the field and his grandpa comes over and says, hey, son, let me tell you what. You want to hear a neat story? These beans are not just beans. And you know what I bet that grandpa did? I bet he sat down like some of you do with your kids and he told them about this man in the past. Hey, listen, you need to tell your kids history. I don't want to make George Washington out to be some kind of guy who didn't do anything. All right, I don't want the founding fathers of America to become just a thing our kids don't know about. I don't want the founding of this godly country just to become something that's a waste just because the devil wants it. And by the way, he's doing a good job of getting it because we don't have enough Christians defending bean fields is partly what it is. But here, the product of this man's choice is that for years and generations to come, people know about Shammah, and we're still talking about him today. You say, Brother Young, why do we need to know this little thing? Well, I think God put this story in here for a reason. Because I think you and I can take not only the principle, you know, defend the bean field, defend your home, and all that kind of stuff. I think that's all good. But I think we can use that simple, I would call it a formula. I would call it things to think about real quick. I would call it P's to ponder. All right? The place, the people, the opponent, the price, the power, and the product. Really fast, we can use some of those. You know, in that order, really, I would be helped if I thought of something, okay? We got some young people deciding, where do I want to go to college? Okay? Well, you know what? Think about it. You should probably think about the place you're about to go. You should think about the people that are there. You should think about the opponent that doesn't want you to go there, all right, or whatever. You should think about the price that it costs. Some colleges cheaper than others, or more expensive, or, you know, whatever. You should think about the power that God has to help you make that decision, okay? The power your pastor has to help you make that decision. I mean, I could sum all these up with, we should probably pray more, all right? Another P we could add to this. But you know what? You should also go look at the product. You want to go somewhere to college? Go look at what kind of students are coming out of that college. All right? You want to go to a new church. Brother Young, I don't know what... Now listen, number one, you should pray before you go to a new church. All right? Well, don't leave this church, okay? All right? We're here. Okay? I'm not encouraging people to leave the church. Everybody's going to say, oh, Pastor, Brother Young was telling people to leave the church on Wednesday night. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying for somebody else, let's say you do get a... God does move you. And let's say, you know, something does happen. Or, you know, you guys who live in a different state. What church do I go to? Maybe you have a friend who's like, well, what church do I go to? Well, listen... Point them out this thing, and maybe they'll end up where they're supposed to be, all right? Think about what place it is. Think about the people who go there. Think about the opponents that... what kind of opponents does that church have? That actually is a very good indicator what kind of church it is, all right? If there's a certain group of people that are really buddy-buddy with that church, okay? There are some churches like that now, and there's certain groups in our country, okay, that are friends with that church. If that's the case, I don't want to be anywhere near that group of people. Okay. Hey, think about the price that was paid, sometimes even just to found the church. You know, what's the history of this place? Hey, listen, think about the power that you get from the preaching, okay, when you go visit the church. Hey, think about the product. Look around at the people in the church. I hope that if somebody were to use this at Blessed Hope, they would walk in and go, wow, this is an awesome place. Because if somebody, sometimes we like these lists, but if somebody were to do this to you or your house or your church, you're suddenly like, oh boy, all right, they're in trouble, okay. Watch yourself, all right? Keep yourself right with the Lord. But the truth is, I just want to point out to you, this is the story of Shammah, and I think we like it. But there's two other people I want you to think about. Number one is God, and the other is a story in the Bible of a man named Samson. And I think both God... You say, Brother, why are we talking about God and Samson? I think both God and Samson used this without knowing it. But we're going to use it here to look at each of their decisions. Hey, I want you to think about this one. I'm glad that God didn't ignore this principle when he was working in my life. I'm glad he considered these things before he let the enemy take me out. Hey, listen, you know what God did? God looked down and he considered some things. He didn't decide anything. God doesn't decide anything haphazardly, but if he did, it would always be right. I like that. I like the fact that God can make an instant decision and it's right, and he can think about it and it's right. But the truth is, we don't have that luxury a lot of times, and sometimes we make one or the other and we make the wrong choice. But God's is not, but I am glad he thought about it. Hey, listen, what about the place God looked at? God looked at earth, this world, on its way to the devil's hell. Wrecked by sin and useless to most people. Just a field of beans. Not really worth it. He looked at the earth and he considered the place that it was. Hey, listen, he looked down at the earth and he considered the people that were there. Mankind, sinners, lost without a shepherd, self-serving and sad, fleeting and fearful, just like those people running out of the bean field. That's what God saw when he saw the earth. He did see that. He sees that today. Okay? You know what else God saw? He saw the opponent. He saw Satan, the devil. He's devious and cunning, and he's corrupting mankind. He's seeking to destroy anything good. He's seeking to wipe out the bean field. He's seeking to burn it down. He's seeking to take it. And by the way, he's done a lot of that here on earth. Hey, listen, God looked down and he saw the price it would cost. He saw the fact that there needed to be a sacrifice, a payment. The blood atonement for my sins, death in my place committed to a cross. Hey, listen, you know what? God knew what power it would take to do this. He knew before it happened what it would take to redeem this poor old bean field we call earth, we call the world. And I am very glad that when God created all this perfect and he saw Adam sin and he knew all things, you know what? I'm very glad he stopped and considered it. He thought about the place. He saw the people. He saw the opponent. He knew what price it would take. And he knew what power it would take. It would take Jesus. And I'm so glad about this part. This is where I just am so thankful for the Lord. Because you know what? Jesus paid the price. Why? I have no idea. I'm like that little guy in the bean field. Why did you rescue my little bean field? Can you imagine that kid who come home and he finds out that, you know, this battle happened in his little backyard? Why in the world did that guy do that? Why did he kill all those Philistines in my backyard? That's pretty amazing. Hey, listen, I have no idea why it is that God so loved the world, but he did. And you know what I know? I know the product is this. We can have victory through Jesus' payment on the cross. Hey, if you're here tonight and you might not know, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Hey, listen, the product of Jesus looking down and seeing the people and the place and this wretched old world and this, what the world thinks is honestly useless. You know what? God didn't see it as useless. He didn't see it as a waste. He didn't see it as something he wasn't willing to fight for. He said, I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to give my son for that. And you know what? I'm going to redeem them. Why would he want me as a prize? I don't know. Okay? But I don't think in the story, I don't think Shama knew what the prize was going to be. God knows, and he still decided. All right? He knew the outcome. I'm so thankful that God did that for me. Did God put this little story in the Bible just so that we could see how much he did for us? Just so that we could see what it's like when a guy defends a little patch of bean field? I don't know if that's the reason for the story, but it's a good one. And I'm glad God considered and pondered and thought about it, and he decided, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to give a way for people to get to heaven. Hey, listen, I'm glad. I know you are. I hope you are. I hope you can reach back in that day and you can decide. You can think about the day that you thought, man alive, Jesus died for me. I can't believe that. And you accepted him as your Savior. If you've never done that, you need to come tonight and ask somebody. Say, hey, I don't know what he's talking about. Why are you guys so happy around here? All right? Why are you singing about heaven came down and glory filled my soul? And hey, listen, did you, you know, hopefully they didn't sit by somebody who didn't look like any glory filled their soul. All right? But the truth is, I've been singing that song before, and sometimes you look out while you're leading singing, and you're going, boy, there's no glory over there. All right? Yeesh. Okay. All right. And I'm just sitting there. Heaven came down. All right. So thanks for helping me out tonight. All right. You guys did sing good. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. All right. Max is over here like, was that me? It wasn't you, Max. You were in the back. I couldn't see your face. He was probably joking back there the whole time. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm glad that this formula, these things work. I'm glad that God thought about them. Let me show you one thing, though, before we leave and before we're done tonight. Look at Samson. Look at Samson. Go really quickly to Judges 16. We're not going to read the whole story of Samson. We don't have time for that. Oh, hopefully I can turn to there. Amen. Joshua, Judges 16, verse 4. This is the sad thing, and I think this is the thing that young people, you need to start listening up real carefully, because in your decision-making time of life, this is going to really affect you in the next few years. If you're 16, 17, 18, this is going to affect you. If you're 19, 20, 21, this is going to affect you. If you're in your 30s or 20s, this is going to affect you. Listen, it's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect everybody. But the truth is, we got to start thinking about some of these things before we just go out and do them. I'm in Judges 6, sorry. Judges 16. Look at verse number 4. And this story, of course, it starts out so sad. Then Samson went to Gaza. So he gets involved with immoral women. And then in verse 4, and it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Every time we read that verse, we know the end of the story and we go, no, Samson, come on, man. Why? Why is he doing that? And keep reading the rest of that. And the lords of the Philistines, man, there's those guys again, came up to her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as other man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which have not been dried, and she bound him with them. And we go on and read the story. And of course, he escapes that time. But think about if Samson had just thought for just a second. What's the place he's in? What place is he in? Not a good place, the Valley of Sorek, the Valley of Gaza. God's people are nowhere to be found. Not his country, not where he should have been. Hey, what kind of people were there? The Philistines, the world, Delilah, a temptress. Hey, listen, some of you young people are hanging out in the wrong place with the wrong people, and you're not even doing it in the world. You're doing it in your home on one of these. I did. Doesn't help, okay? The opponent, who's the opponent in this story? Delilah. Her goal was to afflict him. That was her goal. You don't think he could have seen that? He could have if he thought about it a little bit longer. If he had had any spiritual sense, he would have avoided some serious heartache. The devil was his enemy too, and he knew that. The Philistines was his enemy. He knew that. And yet he's there anyway. She wasn't in it for love. The devil wanted him to defeat it. Hey, listen, he didn't consider the place. He didn't consider the people. He didn't think about the opponent. He definitely didn't know, I don't think he knew, the price he was about to pay. His honor was taken. His life was taken. His eyes were poked out. His life is cut short because he didn't think about the people, the place, and the opponent that was trying to get him. Listen, young people, you better start thinking about those things. Everything you do in life, there's people there. Every place you go, it's a place. Does it honor God or does it not honor God? Do the people there, are they for God or are they not for God? Thank you for being in church. But listen, honestly, some of you, if you ever get out of church for any period of time, I'm talking to 30-year-old people, I'm talking to 50-year-old people, and you didn't consider that missing church for one Sunday could be the end of your life. You had no idea. I wish I could give you horror stories. I wish I could tell you things. I haven't been to this church as long to know, okay, the dirt, all right? I'm sure you guys could all give me a person. Listen, though, you know why those are there? So you can think about it. You all know people's names. You all know people's examples. We all know Samson for the rest of his life. He is branded this way. Why? He didn't think about the people. He didn't think about the penalty. He didn't think about it. And you know what? The price was very high for him. Hey, listen, he didn't ever consider the power he had, the potential he had. Young people, you're going through your teenage years and you don't realize how much power you could have with God if you would just say, I'm going to stay in the right place. Some of you are doing the right thing. You're in the right place. You're with the right people. You know who the devil is. But the truth is, you have never decided you're really going to pay the price. And you've never decided you're going to tap into the power of God. And you say, Brother Young, how do you know that? Because I did the same thing. And I do the same thing. If I'm not careful, I'll do that this week on my mission field. I mean, I'm in the right place. I'm going and visiting people. But if I don't pay the price and go out and do it, nobody's ever going to get saved. Okay? If I don't get the power of God, nobody's going to be blessed. Nobody's going to be helped. The truth is, folks, we've got to start thinking about this. We've got to start putting it in our life. Hey, listen, God gave him his power. He lost it. He got it back again. But think of all he could have done for the Lord. That was the product he should have been. You know, God didn't create Samson to be a wasted product. He didn't do that. God created Samson to be a powerful judge, and he wasted the product. Okay, he was the wrong product. He is the example of what not to do. Hey, listen, you know who they are. I know. I've done that before. I've got stories in my life where I say, that is an example of what not to do. And you know what? I'll use those personal testimonies to help my children. Okay, some of them I'll use to help kids in school. Okay, some of them I'll use to help my son and look at him and say, you don't want to mess with that. You don't want to go down that road. Oh, don't you hang around that person. Dads and moms, we know that we got to use that. Listen, don't just stand by and let your kids hang around with the wrong people. Tell them. All right? Look at them. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't hang with that person. Don't talk like that. Don't do that. That's a good thing. Hey, listen, young person, I want you to think. Just let me get you to think about this, okay? Everything you do this week, start thinking of it like this. The place. Where am I going? What am I doing? Is this a good place to be? Should I go here? Should I do this? Am I supposed to be? Listen, that could be something as simple as, it's 9:30. Should I be in bed or not? No, get up. All right, you're in the wrong place. All right, at 9:30. Unless you worked till 6:30 in the morning, okay? Then go to sleep for a few hours. All right, but you know what? Listen, seriously, think about the place you're at. Okay, think about the people you're with. Who have I talked to today? Who am I being around? Who am I letting influence me? Who did I watch on YouTube today? Who did I listen to on the radio this morning? Okay? Hey, adults, we got to start doing that too, man. I was listening to something the other day. It was a good show. It's a financial show. If I said the name, I'm sure you would know what it is. But you know what? I got done listening to it, and I thought, what did I just do? I just wasted 45 minutes of my mowing time, all right, because I listen while I mow. And I usually listen to preaching and singing and all that, and I listen to stuff like that. But you know what? I stopped, and I said, that was a waste of my time. I just listened to the wrong person. His idea was wrong. He had a wrong idea. Is he a bad guy? No, he's not a bad guy. But the truth is, I don't want that idea affecting me. I got to stop. If that's the way that thing's going to go for the rest of the time that that guy's on the air or whatever, I got to stop listening to him. Or at least I got to find a way to filter out and get rid of some of those things and just have the willpower to say, you know what? No, I don't need that. Okay? How's that song affecting you? How's that place going? Hey, listen, I have stood with young men and teenagers that I went to school with, and this guy, he decided to go to wrong places. He just did. And I have stood with the offer to walk into a place that I would never want to say I've been in one of those. I have stood with the offer to go into one of those places. Maybe it's a bar, maybe it's a strip club, maybe it's a casino. Doesn't matter what it is. Have you ever been to one of those? I've stood with the offer before. And you know what? Didn't take me very long. You know why it didn't take me very long? Even though I wasn't really, honestly, really right with God in a lot of ways, I looked at the place and I thought, I don't want to go there. I looked at the people coming out of that thing and I thought, I don't want to be that. I looked at the opponent and he was trying to get me to go into those places. Hey, I looked at the price. I knew the price. The devil never shows you the price. And it's really hard to make that decision when you're standing there. Because the truth is, the place does look cool sometimes. And the people do look like they're having fun. And the opponent is really pushing you to get in there. And the price doesn't look like it's very high. But you go to the back door. The back door of sin is a totally different story. And you know what the truth is? The only thing that kept me out of that place was a decision I'd already made in my heart. And I said, you know what? You don't have that kind of power over me, man. Okay? No, you can't get me to go in there. I don't want that. You say, Brother Young, did you get it all right? Of course not. But I did save myself some big-time heartache by not going in that place. You say, really? Well, you know what? Young men, it's going to happen to you. Young ladies, it's going to happen to you. Maybe it's a person who comes to you and says, hey, you haven't done this yet. Why not? You know what they're trying to do? Get you to go somewhere you shouldn't. Hey, listen. You are right now becoming more like the things that you listen to, that you visit, that you associate with. Consider what those are. Hey, listen, the Bible even tells us just simply, Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Hey, you know what? The ant doesn't hang out with anything but its own people. All right? The ant does a lot of hard work. It doesn't waste time. It's a pretty awesome little animal to think about. The truth is, though, let's take that. Let's take that simple thing. Think about Shammah. He defended a useless piece of ground, and years later, people are still talking about it because he did the right thing. And I'm glad God did the same thing, but I don't want to be like Samson. Ponder those P's, the place, the people, the Philistines, the opponent, the price, the power, and the product. What do you want to turn out like? You really want to turn out like that? Make sure you're thinking about that. Make sure you're praying about it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you so much that you loved us. I'm glad that you looked down. And Lord, as selfish as our flesh can be and as unfaithful as we sometimes are, I'm thankful, God, that you are always faithful. Lord, I'm thankful that you loved us and that you cared about us. God, I'm thankful that you didn't consider this little town here in Jasonville, Indiana, to be just a bean field. I'm thankful for this church. Lord, I'm thankful that some men a long time ago got up and said, we're going to do the right thing here, what God wants us to do. And generations later, people are reaping the product, reaping the benefit of it. Lord, I pray for these young people as they go their separate ways this week. Lord, I pray for those graduating, those going off to make decisions this summer. I pray for them. Lord, I pray for the Bible college students who are already there. They're already making decisions, but it's not over yet. Big decisions coming up. I pray for the parents this week, Lord, that you would help them. Lord, many of them are making family-changing decisions right now. And Lord, I pray for your wisdom. I pray that they would stop, consider, ponder what you want them to do. And Lord, help us all as Christians. Lord, this week, not to pass by any single place and just consider it useless. Lord, help us to go out of our way and give the gospel to others. Help us to find the one who needs help. Lord, the one who's fleeing from the enemy, and give them the gospel and get them to stand with us and do what's right. And give the gospel to folks this week. In Jesus' name, amen.